when there's something in it for me. Love that loves when I want to. I'm just in a bad mood today. I don't want to. Well, good thing Jesus didn't have a bad day. Maybe the cross wouldn't have happened and you and all of us would have been in hell. See, the world says if you do it, feels good, just do it. Just do it. That's not what God says. That's not what God says. We can take the rooted and grounded a step further. Ephesians 3:14 says that we are rooted and grounded, not in him, but we're rooted and grounded in God's love. How about this? How many of you struggled through the last season and you felt like, oh, stressful, worried, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. Let me tell you why. Because we weren't rooted and grounded in God's love. Listen, when you put roots into who God's love is and what it is, it stabilizes your trial. It stabilizes those tribulations that come that are meant to shake you, that are meant to rip your roots up so that the heat can get to them and dry them out and kill them. When you're rooted and grounded in God's love and you truly understand not repentance at the cross, but the full apprehension of what God's love did for you, you won't be shaken. Trial and tribulation, doesn't matter what they ask you to put on your face. It don't matter what they tell you they're going to give you a stimulus. They're not going to give you stimulus. It don't matter who gets president. It don't matter anything about your life. The interest rates can drive to 12.5%. It won't matter because I'm rooted and grounded in what God is and who his love is for me. And I'm telling you, if the sparrow doesn't want, neither shall I. Amen? But what happened is we're not rooted in who he is. We're rooted in ourselves. We're rooted in selfish love and selfish pattern and behavior. And we call it love. I'm preaching to you. Why? Because I had to preach to myself first. Why is it so important that we know God's love? Why is it so important that we're rooted around it? 1 John 4:16 tells us, and so we know and rely and trust on. In the King James, that would say believe. That we have faith in. It means to rely and trust on the love of God he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in that love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete. Love is brought to full understanding. Love is brought to maturity. So if we're still dealing with childish, immature, selfish love, then I'm telling you that you're not growing in who God wants you to be. And if you're not growing in understanding, then this little next line's for you. Love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. Not we will be, not we are coming. We will be like he. Whew. Christ-like, not full of hatred, not full of selfishness. Not afraid of loving at all cost. Because there is no fear in love. But perfect, complete, mature love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not perfect in love. Now here's what I want to explain. No, you do not have to be afraid of judgment if you are like him. I haven't arrived. I'm still in the process. But God willing, before he should come, that I will be like him. Amen. Because I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to not make it because I thought I had love, yet the Lord looked at me and compared to his love, I didn't have any of it. Because I was afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of what? Do you get perfect love casts out fear? You're not loving from a world's point of view. Again, Jesus was not afraid of what man could do to him, right? So he went to the cross. because he knew that on the third day, his father was going to raise him up. He knew. He had to trust because he knew God the Father loved him and was going to do that which he said. Man crucified Jesus, but God raised him just like he said he would. Love will not always be reciprocated in our lives the way we want or done correctly. But when you love selflessly, God makes it right. God makes it right. So I'm going to tell you a story that happened last week to us, maybe about 10 days ago. A friend of the family called and said they were in need of some money. Would we be willing to give it to them? And I said, Rand's like, showed me the text message. He's like, here. And I don't mean this bad, but it's $600. That's a lot of money. And I'm like, gee, Rand, you know, if we say yes this time, we're going to say yes every time. And oh my gosh, what if we don't have enough? And all of a sudden, fear, hear me. Fear started coming into my mind. Well, what if we don't have enough? I don't have enough for me, mine, and ours. Then what? You know, now I'm not here. And God just said, shh, I need you to love. I'm like, yeah, Lord, but you know how this is going to work. They're going to call again. They're going to want more money. This time ain't going to be $600. It's going to be $1,100. And then I'm going to hand out that. And then this is going to be turned into a big old handout session. The Lord says, I need you to love. You not believe that I'm your provider? You not believe that I can make it right? You afraid that you're not going to eat? Why don't you take a risk on my love and see what I can do? Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection. When I love somebody, will they love me back? What if I do all this for them and I get nothing? They don't even say thank you. Well, then you did it for the wrong reason anyways if you wanted to thank you. Don't you know love gives with nothing in return? Yet I don't think we do. I think we give with a string attached. And then the next time God tells us to give to that person, we say, you know, they didn't even say thank you. Is that what you wanted? Then you should have signed the contract up front. Now, I'm going to give you the $600, but I need a thank you.